One question that we're asking everyone is, how did you get into speech?
It's hard to say exactly where to start, but I guess I'll start when I came and joined my father in Washington, D.C. in about 1964, and he encouraged me to go back to high school, among other things. But he also, at the time, was working on a spectrum analyzer for a friend of his who was a violinist, and it was a collector of violins. And so my dad was trying to lash up some kind of a plug-in, a Tektronix plug-in, spectrum analyzer plug-in, to some other crummy oscilloscopes that he had laying around to make a spectrum analyzer. And I got involved in that project. And as part of that, we were modifying a television set to be the display device. And then I started tinkering with television sets and hooking them up to stereo systems and putting in bandpass filters and things like that to make artistic designs on them.
About how old were you when you were doing this?
I was 18, 19.
Cool.
And finally, my high school history teacher, in this last year of high school I was finishing, got wind of this, and he was involved in the nightclub scene. His day job was being a very civilized and good history teacher. His night job was being a modern day at a couple of the clubs around town. And he thought it would be cool if I would install one of these modified television sets in one of the clubs. So we did that, in fact. We installed it in two or three of the clubs. And I don't know whether it was a big hit or not, but he
Well, what was the display?
There were several variations on it. This very simplest was simply a matter of letting the thing run at its normal horizontal vertical sweep rate and modulating the RG and B guns with bandpasses of music. So what you ended up with was these these sort of sheets of waves of color overlapping and mixing and so forth, and it was semi-synchronizing sort of thing. So anyhow, it was. Yeah, it was appropriate to the time, the late 60s, that sort of thing.
So where did it go from there?
So it turned out that my history teacher then got a job at Gallaudet College in Washington, D.C., teaching history there. And he came to know Mac Pickett, James Pickett, who was running the lab there. At the time, they were interested in visual transformations for the hearing impaired. So they were looking at ways of giving a visual image of speech patterns. And he thought that there might be some common interest, so he encouraged me to drop by Mac's lab and bring some of my stuff with me. And Mac was mildly amused. He was sort of winding down the visual aids project, but by the way, I had done all this stuff up to that point using vacuum tubes. This was in the mid to late 60s, and of course most everybody else was doing everything with transistors. My father was still very skeptical of transistors, and he had a huge amount of tube gear laying around his apartment, so, and here's Mac's lab, it's just, completely outfitted with pretty nice, up-to-date scopes and transistor gear and everything else, and I just asked if I could hang out and see what I could learn. So initially I started working there for free, and I basically served as a technician for a while, and they let me use the lab for my artistic stuff. And then after about two or three weeks, they decided to put me on the payroll, and so, anyhow, I just worked there for, that was my longest period of employment at one place, the elapsed time was 11 years.
Wow.
From the time I started there in, 68.
Now,
until I left in
79. Where did you go to college?
I went to college a lot of places. I finally graduated from Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, in fact. I thought I knew everything there was to know about electrical engineering from hanging around Mac's lab for a few years. And so when I enrolled to go back to school at Catholic University in about 77, 78, I took mechanical engineering. Because I had been working with Ingo Tietze on the mechanical model of the vocal fold. Of course, he was a physicist, but he was very interested in the mechanical properties of vocal folds and so forth. And we did a finite element model of the folds and everything, computer simulation. I was serving as his research assistant during that period. And I got interested in the, materials and things like that, so I thought I'd go back to Catholic. So I started that, and then I got an opportunity to work in a lab at Johns Hopkins in one of the medical clinics. And as as part of that, I would get free tuition to Johns Hopkins.
Ah.
And the catch was that in order to get the free tuition, I had to be a full-time employee. The other catch was that in order to be a matriculating student, I had to go full-time.
That just means you don't sleep.
I got through it, but I think one more semester and I would have been even more psychotic than I usually am.